Gospel according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The Gospel of Christ. Please be seated. Every Christmas, the parables, the myths, the stories, the metaphors, and the symbols that proclaim the birth of God among us do more than recount the birth of a baby in an ancient, faraway land. Every Christmas, these parables, myths, stories, metaphors, and symbols proclaim the birth of hope in us. Hope not just that some far-off supernatural being is going to come and save us from the worst of who we are, but hope that the source of all, the creator of universes, the one who is, was, and evermore shall be, the one in whom we live and move and have our being, the one who lies at the very heart of reality, is born over and over again to live and breathe in, with, through, and beyond us. The words don't do this reality justice. So we resort to the power of these parables, these myths, stories, metaphors, and symbols, to move us beyond words so that we might approach the truth of our humanity. It's been said that the shortest distance between humanity and the truth is a story. And at no time during the year is that more true than at Christmas time. So is it any wonder that we approach this sacred celebration of who and what we are by telling stories? Together at Christmas, we participate in the birth of a child. We see in the image of a newborn baby swaddled in our hopes and dreams. We see the future we desire. All our longings for love and peace rest in the images that live and breathe in this story. The story that has been handed down to us from generation to generation. It is a story we know so well, and yet it is a story that we have barely begun to understand. Like all stories, we can simply listen to it or read it and respond with little more than a nostalgic nod to simpler times when we hope that someone or something out there or up there would come and save us from ourselves, save us from our warring madness, save us from our selfish greed. Or we can open ourselves to the transformative power that some stories have, and we can boldly dare to participate in the story, engage it, wrestle with it, and make it our own. If we let it, this story can open us to that which lives and breathes beyond the words of this story. The characters in this story can live and breathe and have their being in us. Sadly, we all too often get bogged down in the words themselves, measuring them and testing them as we try to pinpoint the origins of the words, and we miss altogether the many truths that this story can convey. Some folks never get past arguing about the history. They just can't seem to understand the power of myth to convey truth, eternal truth. The ancient scribes who passed this story on to us, they knew well the wisdom of using story to convey the truth. So on this Christmas Eve, in the presence of one another, let us seek the wisdom of the ages, remembering that wisdom is a precarious treasure, a treasure that has the ability to enrich our lives. At the very heart of this story is a newborn baby. Each and every one of us is wise enough to know that there is nothing, nothing like a newborn baby to help you to get to the heart of reality. For who among us can hold a newborn in our arms and not wonder? Awe and wonder is the place where wisdom begins. A newborn baby positively oozes with the aura of the mystery that lies at the very core of reality. Who is this little creature? Where did it come from? How did it get here? Who created it? What is it? What is life? What is this all about? For years and years and years, the questions about the nature of reality, about who we are and what we are, who created us and why, these questions have been stifled by answers given to us by others. And for those of us who have long since felt stifled by the answers that have been provided, this story offers us the opportunity to look beyond the answers that fail to satisfy our longing to know more of what it means to be human. So let us, for a moment, try to set aside the answers that tend to trip off our tongues on Christmas Eve. Let us instead just look at the baby, the beautiful newborn baby. Any newborn, and indeed every newborn, can bring so much hope and so much joy into creation. Newborns embody the potential of what might be. Newborns are a vision of the power of love to create something, something new. They are in and of themselves the hope of what love can become. The presence of a newborn is not without its demands, demands to be cared for, to be fed, to be heard, to be housed, to be cleaned up after, and most of all, to be loved. The sheer magnitude of the task is overwhelming, frightening, exciting, and rewarding. On this Christmas Eve, all the potential of life itself will be born again in a stable. In all that potential lie the hopes and dreams of all the earth. So what are we to do with all that potential? What is to become of us? I said the shortest distance between humanity and the truth is a story. So rather than answer these questions, let me engage this story the way the ancient purveyors of wisdom often reveal truth in one story, by laying down another story right beside it. The Jewish people call this midrash, the art of interpreting one story with another story. Years ago, my friend Henry and I, we worked together in the travel industry. In addition to working as a graphic designer, Henry is also a Jewish rabbi. I learned a great deal from Rabbi Henry about the celebration of Christmas when he invited me to join his family for dinner on Christmas Eve. Rabbi Henry explained to me that it was the custom amongst his Jewish friends to gather on Christmas Eve for a commemoration that they called Nittelnacht. Nittelnacht customs date back to the days of the pogroms in Eastern Europe when people calling themselves Christians persecuted the Jewish people. On Christmas Eve, Nittelnacht customs revolve around keeping a low profile. Nacht means night in Yiddish, and Nittel is said to be a Yiddish word patterned after the Latin word for birth. So on the night when Christians celebrate the birth of Christ among us, some Jewish people gather quietly. Often it begins in silence. And on Nittelnacht, the Jewish people refrain from studying the Torah. Rabbi Henry explained that their own Nittelnacht customs had grown over the years to include inviting Gentiles to come and share a meal with them. The idea of having Gentiles around comes from the notion that the perpetrators of the pogroms would just move on when they saw Gentiles in the house. Henry told me that he saw Jews and Gentiles breaking bread together as a fitting way to celebrate the birth of Jesus, who lived his life as a faithful Jew, and by his life gave birth to Christianity. Henry and his wife Rachel were at the time new parents, and as I hadn't yet seen their newborn son, I was delighted to accept their invitation. That's how this particular shishka, that's what their little girls called me, the shishka, found herself holding a newborn Jewish baby named Joshua on Christmas Eve long ago. The Hebrew name, Joshua, which when translated into Greek and Latin then becomes the English Jesus, Joshua was the baby that I held on that Christmas Eve. And Joshua's older sisters, little Rebecca and Rachel, explained to me that I needed to be very quiet on Nittelnacht, because if we were very good girls, their daddy would put a Christmas movie on the VCR. They were hoping for their favorite Christmas movie, which was A Christmas Story, which is also one of my favorites. Rabbi Henry declared that there's something wonderful about a shishka, nursing baby Joshua, laughing with two little Jewish girls about a Shabbos goy who is desperately scheming to get a Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas, when everyone knows such a toy will result in a little boy shooting his eye out. Imagine my delight when Rachel announced that every Nittelnacht, they were inspired by A Christmas Story to order out for Chinese food. We sang, with really bad Chinese accents, "Deck the halls with rows of hori, ra 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 ra." We ate Peking duck, and there was laughter all around. As the narrator of A Christmas Story insists, that Christmas Eve still lives in my memory because all was right with the world. It held all the potential of new birth in that new child. Generations of bad blood between peoples and nations disappeared as we learned one another's stories, even as we created new stories of our own. Love was born among us. Joshua, the name in Hebrew, means God is generous. Such a God is love itself. On this Christmas Eve, as it does on every Christmas Eve, the mystery of new birth awakens the divinity that lives in all of us so that love can come again and again. The awe and wonder inspired by the newborn laying on the straw opens us to the infinite possibilities of love. The peace that we long for tantalizes us with pervasive playfulness, and suddenly we become childlike in our willingness to enter the dreams of our imagination. Tonight, all the potential of life itself will be lying in a stable. In all that potential lie the hopes and dreams of all the earth. Love comes, enfleshed over and over again. Love is here, enfleshed in every vulnerable child. Love is here, enfleshed in our neighbor's need. Love comes, enfleshed in every Palestinian, in every Muslim, and in every Jew who looks to Jerusalem longing for peace. Love comes enfleshed in every refugee that arrives in Canada and in each and every refugee that remains trapped in the camps. Love is here, enfleshed in our Indigenous sisters and brothers. Love is enfleshed in every refugee, every one of those 60 million humans driven from their homes by war, famine, poverty, and disease, longing to find room and safety for themselves and their families. Love is here enfleshed in the longing of the lost and lonely ones who cross our path. Will our hospitality be as indifferent as the folks who were caught up in the busyness of the season that required that they be registered? Or as limited as the innkeepers, or worse yet, as antagonistic as Herod? Can we enter into the magic of this holy day, this holy night, this holy celebration, and engage the story and dare to be moved by the love child so that we can see the divinity that lives and breathes in, with, through, and beyond us? Dare we let the child open us so that we can be love, the love that brings peace on earth and goodwill to all. On this holy day, let us embrace the newborn. Let the newborn love find in us the praise of angels, the dedication of Mary, the awe and wonder of shepherds, and the adoration of the Magi. Let love be born anew in each of us, so that all the world may know the love that we call God. Love is born anew over and over again. May the child in you be the love that is God. Amen.